And as today, as you know, with the Ministry Fair, we're going to take a break from the book of Romans and just talk a little bit about what it means to serve within the kingdom of God and using your faith and your talents. It's really one of the fastest ways to grow in Christ. And I'm going to share a little bit about my journey with you. Some of you know that I actually gave my life to Christ in Germany. It was in 1986. Does that seem like a long time ago to some of you? I think some of the folks that weren't born then, yeah, these Kwamis over here going, yeah. Well, were you even born then? Yeah, just barely. It wasn't that long ago. Trust me, it was just a short time ago. But when I gave my life to Christ, I really, God really grabbed hold of me and put within me this desire to serve Him. So I came back to the U.S. and I started university. And I started going to university at a place called the University of Idaho. And it was actually at the time a fairly well-known party school. And so going to the University of Idaho as a freshman was, for me, having come kind of out of a party background as a kid, it could have been a dangerous thing. But God was there for me, and He brought a guy into my life named Steve Rankin. And Steve was the interim director of this campus ministry called Baptist Student Ministries, BSM. And Steve was there just to keep the ministry going because the year before, the person who had been the director had left. And that director the year before was a very charismatic person. He'd gathered this group around him. There was probably 70 to 80 students a week that were coming to the midweek kind of service that we did on the university. And when he left, between his leaving and the next semester starting, it went from about 80 students to 10 because it was really focused around this guy's personality. And he was a great guy. He had a lot of charisma, but it was built around him. And Steve was supposed to come and try and keep this ministry going. Now, one of the things that I did when I first became a believer that God just laid on my heart was the place of music. I'd always loved music, but I was too undisciplined to ever learn how to play an instrument. So kind of to make a longer story short, I chose to play the mandolin because it was a kind of an accompaniment instrument to the guitar. I figured lots of folks play guitar, so I was going to play mandolin. I didn't know anything about playing the mandolin, nothing. I went out and I bought a mandolin. And it looked exactly like this one. This isn't the original because the original got played literally till it broke. But it looked like this. And as you can imagine, it's kind of a funny thing because this is the instrument I played. And I always played with people who were tiny, who had huge guitars. And one was a girl from New Zealand. That was my first experience with a New Zealander, and she was great. She was about Cindy's size, my wife's size, and she had this big dreadnought guitar. So you can imagine this was a funny look. And then when I played, after she left, I played with this guy named Morgan, and Morgan was even shorter than my wife. He's this tiny, tiny guy with this huge kind of rock star 80s hairdo, and he played guitar and I played this. But when I first got it, I knew so little about the mandolin. I didn't even know where to start. And so I began to play it down here. And I was like, man, that doesn't sound like anything that I wanted to sound like. And I spent about 15 minutes going, this just doesn't seem right. Then I did this. Oh. The skies opened up and the angels sang, and I finally figured, oh, that's where you're supposed to play it. Not down here. That's how little I knew about playing the mandolin. So I was played for about 2 weeks, and so that was my extent of playing. And Steve one time was in my room, and he noticed my mandolin. He goes, so do you play mandolin? And I was like, yeah, I guess. He says, well, then will you lead worship at our BSM time? Yeah, sure, why not? I didn't know anything. I didn't know any Christian songs. So I had to look up online something Christian. And if you remember back in the 80s, one of the Christian songs was Pass It On. And it's one of these ones that was kind of done to death. But you might remember it. It was kind of a mellow song. It goes, it's like, it only takes a spark
to get a fire going. Okay?
But I didn't know that. So I learned the chords, and I went into our first meeting with about four people, and I was like, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around, and they were just like, what are you doing? And I was like, what? What? And then I played some other song, I can't even remember what it was, that was supposed to be slow, and it was supposed to be fast, and I played it incredibly slow. And Steve jumped up after about two songs and said, okay, let's do the Bible study. And that's how it started. And I ended up, and Steve afterward asked me, how long have you been playing? I was like, 2 weeks. But I ended up playing for 5 years. I ended up being part of the worship team for my whole time in university, pretty much. And as I said, I played with whatever reason, God's sense of humor, very short people with big guitars. And it was great. And then I started going to a church, and the church was kind of in the same situation. The pastor had left, and so they were kind of in this place of flux, and it had been quite a while since the pastor had left. And so I started going to this church because Steve was going there. He really began to disciple me one-to-one. And I went to the church because he was going to that church. And no sooner was I there than I was asked to teach Sunday school. I was asked to teach junior high boys because I think they just figured I could physically handle them if it became necessary for me to handle them. So, again, sure, why not? And so I went and I began. I should have known that teaching the junior high boys was not necessarily a position of high status when the junior high classroom boy, the classroom for the boys was clear at the other side of the church, isolated from all things, with the windows that were locked. And I later found out the windows were locked so that they couldn't crawl out of the windows and jump out, because this class was infamous. But I began to teach them, and I often literally would read the Bible and then go and teach them what was in the Bible, because I was so new as a believer. I hadn't even read the whole Bible yet. And they actually knew more of the Bible than I did. And sometimes I would come and say, wow, did you know this was in the Bible? And they'd be like, yeah, we know that. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. But they enjoyed the fact I was only about 5 years older than them, so I was more of a big brother than anything else. And we went through the Bible together. Those were the days when you didn't have to be hands-off with everything, so if they got out of hand, I've told you this before, I would literally tackle them, sit on them, and then go through the Bible study with them. And they loved that. They liked that. And the pastor that finally came in, he was a very cool guy. He's kind of, in my mind, the greatest preacher-teacher that I'll ever know. And his name was Mike Brzezinski, and he was a former Green Beret. And he was an interesting character because his way of, and I told him what was going on in my class, he just goes, well, just don't leave marks. And if you need some techniques that you can use to subdue them but won't leave marks, let me know. That was a cool pastor. But, you know, when it comes down to it, though, I had no experience. I had no training. I would often learn a song two days later, play it for the first time, which still happens, actually, today. I have read the Bible, so I don't go into something not knowing what the Bible says. But it was during that time, and I think I was really blessed in that time, because I discovered that the fastest way to grow in your faith is to use your faith, to be able to place it out there and do something with it. And I'm not talking about a works-based salvation. I'm just talking about the method of growth. And if you look at what Jesus did with the disciples, you see that this happens all the time. Jesus brings in these disciples. They walk with him, literally, wherever he goes, which is pretty much what Steve did with me. Where he went, I would go. But very quickly into their time with Jesus, he sent them out. He said, you guys go. You go and you share the gospel truth. You go into the villages. You go into the towns. You do the things you've seen me doing. And this wasn't that Jesus didn't want to do it himself. It wasn't that he was lazy. It wasn't that he didn't care about those towns. But he knew that if these guys were going to grow and carry on the kingdom work, they had to quickly make it a part of their faith to use their faith. And I think one of the things that often people are kind of stuck in the place of spiritual growth is because they don't use their faith. They don't have the opportunities to use their faith, or that's what they feel anyway. And this is part of the problem. I'm looking for the changer for the slides. It's up here. And I think this is part of the problem that's come into place when you have professional clergy. When you have people who are supposedly the professional clergy, then folks tend to sit back and say, well, we'll let them do it because they know how to do it better. I'm not going to be able to lead a Bible study as well as the professional, or I'm not going to be able to do music as well as the professional. And the result of that has been that the church, for a huge part of the church, never really exercises the gifts and talents that God has given them. And because they don't exercise the gifts and talents that God has given them, they don't get to grow. They don't get to be stretched. Because I can tell you, when I went into those places of early ministry, of music and of teaching, the Sunday school, I didn't know what I was doing. It stretched me every week. Every week I had to figure out a new song. Every week I had to figure out what worship was about. I didn't even really understand worship before I was leading worship. I had to understand what the word had to say if I was going to be teaching it. And yet, those are some of the most powerful times in my life when I look back on what it meant to grow in my faith. And right after Cindy and I were married, we taught the fourth grade class of Sunday school, and we did that together. And that was a whole other experience. And it was great, it was hard, it was stretching. We were both students at the time. We were both students and working and doing this campus ministry and being Sunday school teachers. But it was wonderful. The scripture talks about how we are supposed to be as a body. And we're going to get back to this when we go through the book of Romans. But it says this, just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. Now, when he talks about member, he's talking about like your body part is a member. We usually in English use the negative being dismembered more than we use the positive being a member. But that's what it means. It's not talking about your status in the church. It's talking about the parts of the body. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. See, that's an interesting little phrase there. See, oftentimes we feel like we have to be a kind of an expert before we begin to exercise our gifts. But look what he says, in proportion to their faith. So if this guy is kind of new in the faith, let him just, you know, a little bit. As he grows in the faith, let him get a little bit more in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. Those can all be women too. We can have those places. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The point is that in the church body, we are all parts of the body of Christ. And one of the things that is a defining aspect of a Baptist church is that we believe in this thing called the priesthood of the believer. And if you're not from a Baptist background, maybe this is kind of news to you. But we believe that every person has a role and a place in the kingdom of God. It's not just reserved for a special class of Christian called clergy or priests. We believe that everybody who is a believer in Christ has a relationship with God that allows them to know God, to be in a relationship with God, to pray, to hear the voice of God, and to serve the kingdom of God. And this is one of the distinctives. We're not the only, Baptists aren't the only ones that believe this, but this is one of the things that we believe, the priesthood of the believer. And if you are a believer in Christ, I believe that there is a place for you to serve in humility, under the grace of God. Now, if you're wanting to go into this for power, if you're wanting to go into this for influence, if you're wanting to go into this to build up yourself, build up a title, build up some kind of sense of this is my power part in the church, then frankly, we don't want you in service in the church because we don't want it to be about you. We don't want it to be about your agenda. We don't want it to be about your sense of power. We want it to be about a humble desire to serve Christ and to serve the church. And so that's what we are. We're this body. And one of the things you see in the testimony about the deacons is we can do more when we work together. Because the email that they got to visit this lady from Iran are similar to emails that I've gotten over the last 7 years here. And sometimes I'm able to go. Sometimes I'm not. This particular week had a lot of kind of unexpected things come my way. I was not going to be able to go visit this lady. And before the deacons came along, we would have probably been another one of those churches that didn't respond. Before we kind of point at the other churches and think that we're so much better than they are, that would have been us if it weren't for the deacons. And that's just the way it is. That's just plain truth. So if we want to be a church that glorifies Christ and serves the kingdom, we have to be doing this together. And this is deeply important to this idea of our being fruitful. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit quite often. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And the Scripture says, about these things there is no law. Which what he means by that is you can't be too faithful. You can't be too patient. You can't go over the top with love. If you're willing to walk in this place of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, then you will be within the will of God. You don't need to have rules and regulations telling you what to do. If your character has been transformed by Christ, you will be within the will of God. And if we want to be fruitful, if you want your life to bear fruit, then you have to be willing to allow the fruit from your life to be taken from the tree so that new fruit can grow. Because if you've ever been in an orchard by an apple tree that they never did pick the fruit that year, what happens to it? It just rots and falls to the ground and nothing comes from it. But if you want to be fruitful, you have to be willing to have God come through your life and say, okay, I'm going to take what you've got here and I'm going to use it. And you may say, the fruit's not ready, Lord. I've only been playing the mandolin for 2 weeks. I haven't even read through the New Testament. I'm not ready, Lord. But leave that up to him. He'll say, I'll take it. If he gives you that willing heart, he'll take it and make something beautiful out of it. It's serving is deeply important to our being fruitful. And the Scripture talks about this. It talks about how he wants to involve us. If you go back from the book of Genesis all the way through the end of Revelation, one of the interesting things you'll see in it is that God is always incorporating humanity. In Genesis, it begins with Adam naming the animals. As little kids, we kind of learn that story in Sunday school, and we just kind of think it's sort of nice. You know, Adam named all the animals. But what it's really saying is a much more deeper concept, and that is, within Hebrew thought, when you named something, you gave it its character. This is why God would sometimes rename people in the Old Testament. Like Jacob becomes Israel, and Abram becomes Abraham. And Jesus carries that on when Simon becomes who? Peter, right. And Saul becomes Paul. You see this happening all the time. And the point behind it is, when you name something, you give it its character. In fact, Jesus says that to Peter. He says, you'll no longer be called Simon, which means like a blade of grass growing in the wind, but you will be Peter, because upon this rock, and the name Peter is Petra, the rock, my church will be built. So he saw in Peter a strength of character that no one else saw, but Jesus saw it and drew it out. And we see this throughout the Scripture. Look what he says at the end to the disciples. He says, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Is this a passive expectation that Jesus has of his followers? Does he expect they're just going to sit there like baby birds with their mouths open going, feed me, feed me? No. Therefore, go. He tells them, you do this. You go and make disciples. And then he tells them how to do it. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I've commanded you. You go. But do we go alone? No. Therefore, surely I'm with you always and to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit goes with us wherever we go. You don't go out into serving Christ on your own initiative, with your own vision. You pray, you put yourself before the Lord, and when he calls you, you respond. And when you respond to that little thing, then you'll respond to the bigger thing. And then in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about it being almost like the role of an ambassador. He says this, "All this is from God," he speaks about the faith before that, "who reconciled himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." To reconcile means to be in the kind of the middle person in bringing two parties together. He goes that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And look at this. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then look how he describes himself. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. If you notice in this passage, he calls themselves ambassadors, calls themselves God's fellow workers. And you know what? That's what you are. If you're in Christ, these are your titles. These are your roles. The question is, how do you walk in those roles? How do you express yourself as an ambassador of Christ to this world? How do you walk in that place of God's fellow worker? How do you exercise your faith? So I want to encourage you, and this, we're going to wrap this up because we want to give you the time to go and look at the different opportunities here at IBCD. But I want to encourage you because IBCD is a unique place. It's unique in lots of different ways. You look around, you see the diversity. We're unique in that. We come from different backgrounds, different cultures. But another thing that is unique is that we have a large group of our folks who just come and go. And while they're here, some serve deeply. To be honest with you, sometimes folks come and they're just sort of kind of checked out while they're here. And some come on a regular basis, some serve on different levels. But like I've said before, if you're waiting to get comfortable, like when you're in the, I don't know what it's like in your country, but in the U.S., people tend to move to a community. It takes them about 6 months to a year to find a church they're going to attend. And then they're there for about 2 years before they decide what they're going to get involved in. You don't have that kind of time. And we don't have that kind of time. We need you to jump in now. And, of course, we're going to try and talk with you and help you in that place. We're not going to take someone that we don't know very well and make them an elder right away or anything like that. But there are tons of places you can serve. You don't have to be a member of IBCD necessarily, always to serve in places. There's lots of places to serve. Where you're not a member, there's obviously lots of places to serve as members. But we need you to be part of it. Because this is a unique place. God uses IBCD in a powerful place. It's kind of a small but mighty place where the world comes together to hear the gospel of Christ, get some more information, get trained, hopefully, get grown up a little bit more in Christ, and then they go out and take it into the world. And we have this opportunity to be this junction point where people can come, grow, and then go. And it's a blessing. It's a painful blessing. You know, you have people leave that you care about. You have people that are really great that you're relying on. And it's also kind of a strange thing, I think, sometimes when folks come back after only being gone for maybe 3 or 4 years, and almost everybody's changed. But you're never forgotten in the eyes of God and what you've done and the part that you play here. And that's what's important. It's not about your power. It's not about your prestige. It's not about your place that you build yourself up, but it's giving yourself to Christ and letting God build you up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and we're going to go ahead and close. We won't have our closing song. I'll just go ahead and pray, give the benediction, and then we'll go, and people who are going to be parts of the ministry fair can go and stand around their signs. Where's Stefano? Do people need to bring in tables? Okay, so after we get done, folks can help bring in tables, and we'll get started pretty quick. Now, I'm kind of throwing a curveball. Do you need to know anything else before I... You do announcements. Oh, announcements and giving, I suppose. So let's do announcements and giving, and then we'll go ahead and do that after the prayer, and then we'll bring the folks in, and then I'll do the benediction. Father God, Lord, thanks for this time. Thanks for this opportunity to just explore and share what it means to be part of your kingdom work. And God, I thank you for everybody who is already a part of things. And Lord, the truth is there's a lot of folks who are super important to this church's everyday in and out workings. And Lord, we thank you for seeing new places of growth. But Lord, we want to also not just do the work because we feel like it's a burden upon us, but may we approach it in such a way of understanding this is a way that we can grow. And especially I pray for those who are feeling kind of stagnant in their faith, that they may, if they're not in a place of service, that they can look at a way that they can serve you somehow. And so I just pray your spirit would be with them in that. And God, as we continue forward in this, we pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.